Empowering Through Prayer. This is the last chapter, chapter 20, The Praying Pulpit Begets a Praying Pew, by E.M. Bounds. I judge that my prayer is more than the devil himself. If it were otherwise, Luther would have fared differently long before this. Yet men will not see and acknowledge the great wonders and miracles God works in their behalf. If I should neglect prayer but a single day, I would lose a great deal of the fire of faith. Martin Luther. Only glimpses of the great importance of prayer could the apostles get before Pentecost. But the Spirit coming and filling on Pentecost elevated prayer to its vital and all-commanding position in the gospel of Christ. The call now of prayer to every saint is the Spirit's loudest and most exigent call. Sainthood's piety is made refined, perfected by prayer. The gospel moves with slow and timid pace when the saints are not at their prayers early and late and long. Where are the Christ-like leaders who can teach the modern saints how to pray and put them at it? Do we know we are raising up a prayerless set of saints? Where are the apostolic leaders who can put God's people to praying? Let them come to the front and do the work, and it will be the greatest work which can be done. An increase of educational faculties and great increase of money force will be the direst curse to religion if they are not sanctified by more and better praying than we are doing. More praying will not come as a matter of course. The campaign for the 20th or 30th century fund will not help our praying, but hinder if we are not careful. Nothing but a specific effort from a praying leadership will avail. The chief ones must lead in the apostles' effort to eradicate the vital importance and fact of prayer in the heart and life of the church. None but praying leaders can have praying followers. Praying apostles will beget praying saints. A praying pulpit will beget praying pews. We do greatly need somebody who can set the saints to this business of praying. We are not a generation of praying saints. Non-praying saints are a beggarly gang of saints who have neither the ardor nor the beauty nor the power of saints. Who will restore this breach? The greatest will he be of reformers and apostles who can set the church to praying. We put it as the most sober judgment that the great need of the church in this and all ages is men of such commanding faith, of such unsoldened holiness, of such marked spiritual vigor and consuming zeal, that their prayers, faith, lives, and ministry will be of such a radical and aggressive form as to work spiritual revolutions which will form errors in individuals and Christian life. We do not mean men who get up sensational stirs by novel devices, nor those who attract by a pleasing entertainment, but men who can stir things and work revolutions by the preaching of God's word and by the power of the Holy Ghost, revolutions which change the whole course of things. Natural ability and educational advantages do not figure as factors in this matter, but capacity for faith, the ability to pray, the power of thorough consecration, the ability of self-littleness and absolute losing of oneself in God's glory, and in ever-present and insatiable yearning and seeking after all the fullness of God. Men who can set the church ablaze for God, not in a noisy, showy way, but with an intense and quiet heat that melts and moves everything for God. God can work wonders if we can get a suitable man. Men can work wonders if they can get God to lead them. The full endowment of the Spirit that turned the world upside down would be eminently useful in these latter days. Men who can stir things mightily for God, whose spiritual revolutions change the whole aspect of things, are the universal need of the church. The church has never been without these men. They adore its history. They are the standing miracles of the divinity of the church. Their example and history are an unfailing inspiration and blessing. An increase in their number and power should be our prayer. That which has been done in spiritual matters can be done again and be better done. This was Christ's view. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." The past has not exhausted the possibilities nor the demands for doing great things for God. The church that is dependent upon its past history for its miracles of power and grace is a fallen church. God wants elect men, men out of whom self and the world have gone by a severe, severed crucifixion, by a bankruptcy, which has so totally ruined self and the world that there is neither hope nor desire of recovery. Men who by this insolvency and crucifixion have turned towards God perfect hearts. Let us pray ardently that God's promise to prayer may be more than realized. The end of chapter 20 having been read by Peter John Parisi, the end of the book Power Through Prayer by E.M. Bounds.